Would you turn with me in your Bible this morning to Revelation chapter 2, would you please? Book of Revelation chapter 2. Well, we've been going through a study here on the doctrines of our faith so that we are grounded in knowing what we believe and why we believe what we believe. And we've arrived at this area of the Trinity, and we're looking at the third person of the Trinity. We've looked at the Father, the Son, now we're looking at the Holy Spirit. Very important to know the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons why this is so critical today, to know the Holy Spirit, how He works, what He desires, how He leads us, is because today in Christianity, many Christians are saying, the Lord led me to do this, the Lord led me to do that, the Holy Spirit said to do this, and oftentimes it's not the Holy Spirit because there's a misunderstanding of how He works and how we can know it's His voice. And we've learned that you can be absolutely sure that it's the voice of the Holy Spirit through what we've been studying these last few weeks. Last week we were looking at another aspect of how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and that is through the witness of the Holy Spirit. We studied about what that meant, how He leads us by that inner witness. In Romans chapter 8, we've got to know that it says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So God intends for us as Christians to be led by His Holy Spirit. We all in agreement there? How many of us believe that this book is a revelation of who God is? So the way we understand God is through His Word. And all of us can concoct things about God that we think are good. Oh, God would, you know, He forgives everybody. He loves everybody. He's going to be okay. And there's not really a hell or a heaven, and God would never do something like that. And we make statements like this. You know what? We don't know the foggiest thing we're talking about because we don't know God. The only way we know God is through His Word. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is a judgment. Jesus taught all of that, and He taught us what reality really is. And the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. So here in Revelation chapter 2, our Lord Jesus had just rose from the dead. He now revealed Himself to the Apostle John, and He gave John the book of Revelation. It was a revelation to him. And here's what Jesus says in verse 7 of Revelation 2. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear. He who can listen, listen. Listen up. You ever told your children, listen up when you want to get their attention? Well, this is a listen up from God. The one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So Jesus is saying, hear what the Holy Spirit says. And that's what we want to do. We want to tune in to the Holy Spirit. Like we shared a few weeks ago, there are thousands of voices in this room right now, and I'm not being weird about this, but there's all kinds of things going on invisibly that we can't see because God created all things visible and invisible, right? There are sound waves coming through this room right now, and all we need is a little radio with an antenna, and we can pick up news, and we can pick up sports programs, and we can pick up music that are flowing through this room right now, all these radio waves that we can't see. We've got to have the right equipment to tune in to hear it, right? Well, as Christians, God's given us the equipment to tune in to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have to fine-tune our listening ear to hear what He has to say. So, Jesus said in John 10:27, and some of these things are in your notes, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. So we're talking about the voice of God that we can hear. By the way, He says, not only do we hear, but we follow. Last night after this service, one of the brothers here came to me and he said, Pastor Doug, it says here in the next verse in John 18, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And he says, you know, sometimes I think I hear God's voice, but I'm not sure if I'm really listening to what He wants me to do. I said, that's a great distinction there. Because if we hear His voice, God expects us to do what He tells us to do. In the Hebrew, the word for hear and obey is the same word. There are not two different words there. In other words, if we hear God, then we will obey God. If we don't obey God, then we haven't listened. It's like we do as parents with our children. We ask them to do something and they don't do it. And what do we tell them? Did you hear what I said? How many ever do that with their kids? Why do we say, did you hear what I said? Because if you heard me, then I expect you to do what I told you to do. If you didn't do what I told you to do, then you did not hear me. So, that's God. We're made in the image of God. God expects us to hear and obey. Jesus said, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice, which means not everyone can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We can hear a lot of voices, but not the voice of the Holy Spirit. Only God's people can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's not because we're better than anybody else. That's not because we're smarter than anybody else. That's not because we're cuter than anybody else or more lovable than anybody else, right? How many here know we can be very unlovable at times? No elbowing your spouse right now, but we can be that way. It's because God has chosen us to be His own, and that's it. And we don't deserve a bit of it. But we are His, so we can listen to His voice. As we've been going through this study too, I've been encouraged by several people in the congregation that have come to me, and they said, Pastor Doug, you know, I knew these things, but you know what? I don't tune into God. I don't know that I'm really hearing His voice. I need to, but I'm making just a lot of decisions without even asking Him. Well, that's what we want to change, right? We want to listen to what God has for us. Now, the Holy Spirit, and this is by way of summary, but it's a point that I want to continue to emphasize because it's a big deal in the church today when people say the Holy Spirit led me to do this and that, when it's contrary to God's Word. The Holy Spirit will never lead us contrary to the Word of God. Never. He will always lead us in line with God's Word. John 14, Jesus said that He's going to send us a helper. God has not left us alone. When Jesus ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, the third person of the Trinity came to earth, and now God continues His work all by the Holy Spirit. Everything that God does here on earth is done by the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And that's biblical. We've looked at that already. But it says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And then in John 16 it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority. Listen to that. He will not speak of His own authority. So the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything independent of God and His Word and His will. So the Holy Spirit will not lead us contrary to what Jesus has endorsed and said, where Jesus endorsed the entire Old Testament as being the Word of God. He said, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill everything there. And the New Testament are His words and quotes, His teachings. So that's how the Holy Spirit will guide us. He will glorify me, Jesus said, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. So, listening to His voice, He will guide us and direct us. Now, one point to make here, as we're talking about listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, it's not just one thing or another. It's not just the witness of the Holy Spirit. It's not just being led by the peace of God that we've talked about before. It's not only hearing godly counsel from other Christians. Following God is a whole package of Christianity. The way that we keep on track with God is by being involved in everything that God wants us to be. Church fellowship, church attendance, Bible studies, personal time in God's Word, knowing the whole counsel of God's Word, not just camping around the Psalms and Proverbs, reading through the Bible, gleaning truths about who He is and what He desires in our life, then seeking out godly counsel, then listening to Him. It's not just one thing. Walking with God is a whole package. That's why God says, don't neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And also in Ephesians, it says we have this great inheritance in the saints. God is speaking to us through many ways in guiding and directing our lives as members of the body of Christ. Turn to Psalm 143 with me, another revealing passage of Scripture. Would you please this morning? If you don't have a Bible, please take one from the pew in front of you and look at these verses with us. If you have your own, these are great ones to underline and to star. As we've said here many times, what I have to say doesn't mean much, but what God has to say means everything. That's why we look at God's Word. And it reveals to us. Here David, in Psalm 143, prays an excellent prayer. And this is a model prayer for us every day. This is the way we posture ourselves to hear from God. He tells us right here. It says, verse 8, 143 verse 8, Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. So he's listening. He's listening. You know, as Christians, we don't want to just read through the Bible or do our daily devotions. Did you do your devotions today? Yeah, I did my devotions today. It's like a project. We don't want to read through the Bible. We want the Bible to read through us. We need to read through it, but we want to read through it with a listening ear, with a teachable spirit. And as we've said before, understanding that this word is truth. So when I approach it and I'm looking for the truth about life, about me, about God, I'm going to glean things from that. So he says, let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Then here's an excellent prayer daily. Make me know the way that I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Every morning, Lord, make me know the way I should go today. Let me know the decisions I need to make. Let me know how to handle every situation that's going to come before me that I don't know today. Every day is full of unexpected things, right? Friday, we were cutting trees in my yard. God has created the mountain pine beetle for a specific purpose. And one of those purposes is to kill all the trees in the forest so that there can be new growth growing. God replenishes his forest that way and uses the mountain pine beetle to do that. So the mountain pine beetle killed 150 trees in my yard. So we're cutting trees down. And right in the middle of all this work, we get a flat tire on the skid loader. So then we have to carry the logs. Bummer. You know, unexpected things happen and you don't want them to. You know, the one machine that was going to help us, we had to end up changing a tire on that Friday. And you know, posturing ourselves every day to say, God, help me not get ticked off at the unexpected trouble that's going to become my way today. I've got a plan, but you direct my steps, and I'm okay with that. Then God will guide us and lead us in the way that he wants us to go. Make me know the way that I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord, I have fled to you for refuge. Then in verse 10, look at what David says. Teach me to do your will. For you are my God, and let your good spirit lead me on level ground. David was looking for the leading of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Let your good spirit lead me. He had great insight into the presence of God, into how God works. He presented himself to him every day. So we can hear the voice of God. Now, how do we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? We've already talked about some ways how God can speak to us, to others, and how we can have his witness whether or not what they're saying is true or not. But here's two ways this morning. One of the ways, first of all, most of the time in the scriptures, when God is speaking to people, he is speaking to us to give us words for others. Sometimes we think, God, I just want you to speak to me for my needs. You know, most of the time, he wants us to minister to other people. He wants to give us words of life. He wants to give us direction. And we find that continually through the scriptures here. Turn with me to 2 Samuel 23. Back in the Old Testament, this is a very interesting passage of scripture here. And again, this one has to do with David. 2 Samuel 23 has to do with David. In fact, these were the last words that David shared before he died. You know, someone's last words are usually the most important. If you have time before you die to say a few things, you really want to say things that are pertinent, prominent in your life. How do we know that these were the last words of David? Because it says so in verse 1. I didn't just come up with that. Okay? It says right in the Bible. Now these are the last words of David. See that? Not complicated. The oracle of David, the son of Jesse, the oracle of the man who was raised on high. That's an interesting phrase. He didn't say, I raised myself up. He was raised, passive tense, by God. The anointed of God, the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. And listen to verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue. The Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. David knew when he was penning words and speaking, at times it was the Holy Spirit speaking through him. And we need to know that too. How much more do we have now that the Holy Spirit lives with us as Christians? But David knew, the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. So God uses this to speak to others. Are we ready for that? Do we even say, God, help me to articulate my faith today. Show me who to talk to today. Give me wisdom. Give me insight. Tell me what to say. You know, God answers that prayer. When I used to work construction, I was a construction worker for years. I was a concrete finisher for a while with the union down in Denver. So when you went on a job, there were hundreds of guys. I used to pray for the guys that I was working with, 10, 15 guys, have my foreman down, have all the names of everybody. I would pray for God to give me opportunity to share Christ with them. Now, when we were around the lunch and they were all together, it was the mob mentality, you know, and they would make fun of me and they'd call me preacher boy, and because I wouldn't tell the dirty jokes that they were telling, I used to tell them, can't you guys come up with new ones? I used to tell those years ago, a joke with them about that. I said, I don't tell those anymore. I don't use the profanity anymore. I'd tell them because I had to learn English, and I finally learned English. Didn't know how to speak English before. And then I wouldn't be sharing with them on all their sexual escapades and how they're cheating on their wives and everything like that. So they call me preacher boy when they're in the mob there. But one-on-one, I got to talk to them. So I would pray, God, isolate me with these guys and give me the words to speak. And it was easy to be isolated because I was working on high-rise buildings downtown Denver, 10, 15 stories up, and they'd stand me out on these swinging scaffolds. You ever see those? And I would patch the buildings up and down, and sometimes the wind drafts would come up and blow you away from the building. You'd have to wait till the wind stopped, then you go back and keep working there. And when you're on a scaffold up there with a guy, you get to know him. You know, it's just the two of you out there. And sometimes on high stationary scaffolding, I'd be working. One day, this guy came to work for us, and he was an ex-biker. Big, burly, dark-eyed, tattooed guy. And he did not like anybody. He would come in and just, like, get away from me. When I first saw him, I thought of the song, Big John. You know, this big guy comes and no one messes around with him. But I put him on my hit list, on my prayer list, and I said, Lord, you know, get me isolated with him. Sure enough, my old boss, Willie, puts me with him on a 20-foot scaffold for a week. This guy gets up there, and I said, oh, God, give me direction with him now. I know you put him here with me for a reason. First day, I tried to make conversation. He cut me off. Second day, he didn't want to talk. Wednesday, I started to talk to him, brought him some candy bars, you know, and I put some extra snacks in my lunch. And then he started talking to me about his life. By Thursday, he was up there one time, and we shared some things. He started crying. And he said, man, I don't open up to anybody. I said, let's talk here. So we talked by Friday. I prayed with him Thursday night. By Friday, he wanted me to go home and meet his family and talk to them about Christ, which I did. You know, God puts us in places with people. But are we praying for him to give me words to speak? Help me, because God's in the people business. And he wants us to minister to people. Now, extroverts will serve more people than introverts. But all of us are meant to engage people. And much of the time when we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, it's in this realm of speaking to others. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 4. And here you have two brand new Christians, Peter and John. They are proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the religious leaders of that day did not want them to be saying that. You know, some of the greatest persecution against Christians back then and today comes from the religious community. Some of the greatest persecution, and so it was back at this time. So Peter and John are sharing these things. They're brought before this powerful council of religious leaders who had the power to imprison people. And it says in verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Now that's an important verse, filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God was guiding him. Even Jesus had warned his disciples and said, the days are coming when you are going to be brought before the authorities and brought before magistrates, but don't worry about what you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit will give you what to say in that hour. So Jesus already prompted them for that. So here they are, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he starts talking about Jesus. Verse 13, it says that when this council of religious leaders saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. Why were they astonished? Because these guys could articulate what they believed. They had insight into the Old Testament scriptures, and these religious leaders were saying, they're not even educated. They're fishermen. Where'd they get all this? And then the next verse, they recognized they'd been with Jesus. Is there anybody here who's encouraged by this passage of scripture? Common folk, uneducated, God uses us by His Holy Spirit. So He speaks to us to impact other lives. Also in Acts 13, verse 2, when the disciples were praying and fasting and presenting themselves before God, saying, God, what do you want us to do? The church is growing. Where do you want us to go? Who do you want to go? The Holy Spirit spoke to them and told them to set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work of the ministry. How did the Holy Spirit speak to them at that time? Well, we're not quite sure if He spoke by a booming, audible voice, which God can do. But nowhere in Scripture does He normally come with a big, booming voice. I've never heard the audible voice of God. Doug. Do this. I don't hear that. He probably spoke through one of the prophets there, one of the people there in that group praying and fasting, and they all bore witness that was the Holy Spirit. And that's what they did. So God speaks through people to others. And today is a great day. If you have a fear of man or a fear of rejection or you have a hard time articulating your faith, you pray today, God, help me to do that. Make me know the way I should take. Give me the words to share your life with others and watch God work. We'll be astounded at what He gives us. Another way that God speaks is not only through us, but He speaks to us also. He will speak to us regarding things that we should do. Here, turn with me to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. And every time I read this passage of Scripture, I am so encouraged by how God moves and how He takes care of us when He wants us to do something. He does not leave us on our own. In Exodus, in this passage of Scripture, this is about a guy by the name of Moses. Everybody hear of Moses? Moses, for 40 years of his life, was in Midian, on the beaches of Midian, on the sand. He didn't have it too bad. He had a family. He had sheep. Lots of sunshine. Probably used his sun guard a little bit out there, you know. Not much problems. And then God reveals Himself to Moses in a burning bush. And from that point on, Moses had trouble all the rest of his life leading God. But he also had some tremendous experiences. And God called him, and whenever God calls us, He equips us to do what He wants us to do. In this passage of Scripture, He's telling Moses that He wants a tabernacle built in the wilderness. And it's going to be a movable sanctuary, a movable place for people to worship God and to honor God. And why would it be movable? Because they were going to be, they're going to be going through the desert for 40 years. And by the way, the children of Israel did not wander in the desert for 40 years. They did not wander in the desert. They were led for 40 years by the pillar of cloud and the fire by day in a circle for 40 years. There was no wandering in the wilderness. I know that you see that sometimes on different things. They did not wander. The Spirit of the Lord came over the tabernacle in a cloud by day, fire by night. And they would stay in that place, and it says, for 3 days or 3 years. And when the cloud moved, the children of Israel moved. Where the cloud stopped, they stopped. They were led in the desert under God's judgment for 40 years until God let them go back into Canaan land. The Holy Spirit leads us. That's the great thing. And here, God tells Moses to build an ark, not Noah's ark, not a boat. This was the Ark of the Covenant. 3.5 feet by 2.5 feet. It's a little box covered with gold. Very elaborate. And in that would be the Ten Commandments, and there would be a jar of manna, there'd be a rod of Aaron, and all the testimony of what God was doing in Israel. And wherever that ark went, the presence of God would go. That's how God worked among them. But the interesting thing about this ark is it had a lid on it called the mercy seat. And on that lid were two angels. And that's where we pick it up here, because this was very important for Moses to listen to the directions here. Why? Because this is what would happen. Okay, this is Exodus chapter 25. And it says here, he's talking about verse 15, the poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken out, and you shall put the ark of the testimony, put it into the ark of the testimony, what I give you. And then he says in verse 17, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. And 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim, angels of gold, of hammered work. And you shall make them on the two ends of the mercy seat. Make one cherub on one end and one on the other. Of one piece with the mercy seat, you shall make the cherub on its two ends. So it was to be all molded into that top. The cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces, with their faces to one another toward the mercy seat, shall be the faces of the cherubim. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you. Wow. About all I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. In other words, above this lid, one cherub would be like this, and one cherub would be something like that, and they'd have an airspace between these two angels and the ark, and out of that airspace would come the voice of God for Moses. That is a powerful passage. And what was God saying? Moses, I'm not leaving you alone. You don't have to leave these people on your own. I will tell you what to do. I will guide you and direct you. You just do what I tell you to do, and my will be done. That's all Moses had to do. And Moses did that right up to the end of his life, and he made one mistake. He didn't obey the voice of the Lord. But isn't that amazing? Right above that, can you imagine him going behind these curtains into the Holy of Holies, and he stands there, and God's voice comes right out of that opening. How much more now do we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Also, a couple other passages in Acts chapter 10, God spoke to Peter again. And here in Acts chapter 10, God wants the gospel to go out to the Gentiles. So Peter goes to Caesarea, and he doesn't know exactly what is about to happen. But it says here in verse 9, Acts 10, 9, the next day as they were on their journey approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. Now we have to understand here in America that the housetops at that time were flat. You would think, what's he doing on a pitched roof, you know, up there? Well, he wasn't on a pitched roof. And in many third world countries, they have houses that have upper rooftops that you can put tables on and you can actually walk around and pray. And that's what he was doing. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners to the earth. And in it were all kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds of the air. You know, sometimes when we're going through life, God surprises us. Peter's up there waiting to eat, you know, the meal's being prepared, and all of a sudden he just finds himself losing his awareness of where he's at, and this picture comes to him, this vision. And there came a voice at that time. There it is again. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, then he gets in a conversation with the Holy Spirit. No, Lord, by no means. I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. Then the voice speaks to him again and came to him a second time. What God has made clean, do not call common. And this happened three times and the thing was taken to heaven. So three times the voice of the Lord came to him. When we're listening to the Holy Spirit, for me, at times when God is speaking to me about doing something or whatever it might be or making a decision, His voice will come time and time again, and when it continues to be impressed on me, I take that as a leading of the Lord, one of the key leadings of the Lord. We can hear His voice. It is sad to me, over the years of ministry, to know many Christians who do not listen to the Lord, but once they come into the kingdom of God, they still go out and make decisions the way they always did. They don't pray to God. They don't ask God for His leading. They don't wait on the Lord. They read their Bibles, they have devotions, they come to church, they're involved in children's church, they're involved in ministry in the church, but as far as their personal lives, they're not waiting on the Lord. They're making financial decisions according to what the stock market's doing, according to indications in the Wall Street Journal. They're not seeking God about what to do with the finances. They're just kind of taking their cues from life, just like people do without the Lord. You know what? We have an inheritance with God. God doesn't want us just to live the way... Now, it's not wrong to read the Wall Street Journal. I like the Wall Street Journal. And it's not wrong to use indicators out there. But we've got to know that as children of God, we have a great inheritance of walking with Almighty God who knows everything. Who knows everything. And we can listen to Him. And here, Peter, this voice comes to him, and God was opening his heart to the Gentiles. How many of you remember the story of little Samuel, the little boy? Anybody remember that? Samuel was a small boy in the Old Testament, and his mother had prayed for a son, and when God gave her a son, she committed her son to the Lord, to full-time service for God. So Samuel, at a young age, entered into this priesthood with Eli. And Eli was a corrupt priest, and his sons were corrupt. So little Samuel was in a corrupt priesthood. And one night, and kids, you know, and we have most of our children aren't here right now because they're out working with VBS. But you young people that are here, you do not have to be 40, 50, 60 years old, 25 years old to hear the voice of the Lord. Samuel was sleeping one night as a young child, and a voice comes to him, Samuel, Samuel. So Samuel jumps up, he runs over to Eli's bed, he said, what do you want? And Eli said, what do you mean? I didn't call you. So Samuel says, So he goes back and he's sleeping. Here's his voice, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel runs up, goes over to Eli. Eli, what do you want? Eli says, I didn't call you. What are you talking about? Someone call my name, Eli. So Eli says, Samuel, next time you hear your name, you say, I'm listening, Lord. Speak for your servant hears, but I'm listening. And see what happens. So Samuel goes back to bed. Do you think he could go to sleep? I don't know if he can go to sleep or not. But all of a sudden the voice comes to him, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel goes, I'm listening, Lord. And the Lord lays out the future of what he wants to do in Eli's family and how he wants to lead and guide Samuel. Little boy, we can hear the voice of the Lord. That's in the Old Testament before the Holy Spirit was poured out. So when Jesus says, listen to my voice, there's a voice of the Holy Spirit. And as we've said, normally three voices, my voice, Satan's voice, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. But we can learn it is very distinct and unique to hear that voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, does he lead us on every detail? No. Should I drink this glass of juice or not? No. God leads us through life. But when we are posturing ourselves, as far as any work in the kingdom or major decisions that we're making, or just decisions during the day, we walk with the Lord. God is more interested in our devotion than our devotions. Some people say, well, I spent 15 minutes with the Lord today. My devotions are done. No. All that morning time is to posture us to listen all day long, to be led by the Lord all day long. The stops, the starts of life, the interruptions, the things that work out the way we wanted, we thought they would, all that is guided and directed by the Lord. How do we know that? Because the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord. So God's in charge. Go back to 1 Kings 19. Just one thing I want to pick up here before we close. And if you are battling with discouragement or loneliness or frustration, read 1 Kings chapter 19. This is a very encouraging passage of Scripture. Because 1 Kings 19 is about Elijah. And Elijah was a great man of God, but he was also a man just like us, it says in James. And Elijah even prayed one time that until his nation would repent, God had stopped rain. And for 3.5 years, God stopped all the rain. And he heard Elijah's prayer. And James says he was just like us, but he prayed fervently because he had a heart for the people of Israel. But Elijah got to a place where he became fearful, he became down, he became discouraged, and he wanted to die. Has anybody here ever said, Lord, today's a good day to take me home? I'm facing a lot of stuff. Oh, Lord, if you want, take me home. That's where he was. And he felt all alone. So here, the Lord says, Elijah, go to this cave. And Elijah goes to a cave, verse 9, and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And the Lord said to him, the Lord speaking to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? I told you to be serving me back there. What are you doing out here? So Elijah says, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even only I, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Now, was he the only one left? No, it goes on in the passage where God says, I got thousands Elijah that you don't know about that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. You're not alone. And if ever you feel alone as a Christian, you're not alone. There's no one in the body of Christ who's alone, ever. And that's good to remember. And so God says, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. That's a powerful wind. But the Lord was not in the wind. I mean, it gets windy up here. Our last home, the wind blew my whole grill off my deck. I mean, it can get windy up here. But this was a big wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. See these big demonstrations of God. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. A low whisper, or a still small voice, some of your Bibles say. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. The voice of God, that still small voice, that's how God speaks many times. And we need to tune into that and be listening. That's why it's good to be alone. I read a history of Susanna Wesley, who had 18 children. You know, it's hard to get alone with 18 children. Some of you moms, can you get alone with two or three? You know what she used to do in the middle of the house? She put her blanket over her head and prayed. That's how she got away. The sound of a still, small voice. And behold, the voice said to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And then God gives him direction. Down a little bit more in verse 15, he said, Elijah, what I want you to do is return back the way you came, for I got a lot of work for you left. And Elijah had no idea that he would be one of two men in the Bible who would not die. He never knew that. God had a chariot limo to come down and get him and take him. Only Elijah and Enoch were the two. There's no indication that they actually died here on earth. Wow. Elijah, God had a lot for him to do. But that still small voice. So we get to know that voice. It's like building a relationship, a friendship with somebody. If you meet somebody for the first time or maybe two times and they're down the hall or behind a wall and they're talking, you probably wouldn't be able to recognize their voice. But people that you know and that you spend a lot of time with, they can be on the other side of a wall talking, and you know who that is because you know their voice, right? That is much the way it is in learning the voice of the Holy Spirit. Communing with God, listening, and in time as we grow and mature, we begin to learn that unique voice of the Holy Spirit. And when He speaks, we can say, Lord, that's You. That's You. And He can guide and lead our life. It is a tremendous blessing to have this kind of relationship with Almighty God. And it is a huge part of my life. And the leadership of this church, we don't make decisions in this church just by what we feel. We pray, God, what do You want us to do? This is Your church, not ours. We are Yours. So we got to have His direction. The last passage of Scripture here is Psalm 78. And this is really for the fathers here this morning, because I'll tell you what, it is a big responsibility to be a dad. And for some of us, granddads, grandfathers. It is a big responsibility to be a grandfather and a father. But God wants us to pass on to our children the legacy of Christianity. Much like what Marlon was talking about here earlier. But we have to learn to hear God and to know how God wants us to do that. One guy after the last service came to me and said, Doug, I want to know how God wants me to pass on Christianity to my grandchildren. I want to know that. I said, great, me too. So we got to be listening. Ways to do that. And God guides us and directs us. Here in Psalm 78, the last verse, then we're going to close. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. So we have to be listening. Give ear means listen up. Listen. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. So we have to tune in to what God is saying through His Word and through other situations in life. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter old sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers told us. Then it goes on. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation. We will pass on, brothers and sisters, who we are to our kids. Doesn't matter how much we want to pass on to them. We pass on to them who we are. How many of you have ever taught, been teachers? You know, as the years go by, some of the students that Marty and I taught when we were young that were in junior high and senior high now are married in their 40s. And you know, when I talk to them, when I get opportunities to talk to them again, they do not remember one teaching of all those years and the hours that I put into those Sunday school lessons. They don't remember one of those. But you know what they remember? Who I was and who Marty was. They remember you. And there were things that were passed on by how we acted and how we responded and what we said. And that is much like it is as parents. Parents, we may want our children to do things, but we will pass on who we are to them. Who we are. It's a legacy. And what we want to do is pass on this tremendous ability that we have to walk with Almighty God and to instill within them the wonder of knowing that. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. Are we passing that on to our children? That is huge. Those of you who are visiting, that's huge in this church. Big emphasis in our church. We call life and legacy. Our life before God and the legacy we're going to pass on to the next generation. That is our responsibility here. And what a joy it is to walk with God, because it's all by His grace. We can't do it without Him. But we can pass that on. He establishes a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children. So dads, that's our responsibility. And you know what? It is easy to feel like a failure as a father. Because we're busy. We got work. And it doesn't matter how much time we're spending with the kids, we always think we can do more. How many of you dads know what I'm talking about? And so it's a huge responsibility, but God gives us grace. We need to take the time to teach them. I'm looking at my children back here. You know, when you guys were in high school, you know when your favorite time to talk was? Between 10 and 2 in the morning, right? We spent a lot of time in the kitchen. You know, God can lead you at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're tired, give you things to say, discuss. We want to teach our children that the next generation might know these things. And the children yet unborn, some of you are fathers to be here, and you don't even know it, that they might arise and tell their children. And what's the whole purpose of it? The next verse. So that they would put their hope in God. So that they would put their hope in God. That's what we're all about. Because if we don't put our hope in God, we're putting our hope in ourselves, right? There's no other way to go. We're either going to be trusting God's word, or we're going to be trusting our own understanding. We're either going to be doing God's will or we're going to be doing my will. There's only two ways to go in life. We want to go His way. All of Christianity can be summed up with saying, not my will, but yours be done. You're my Lord, my God, and my Savior. Teach me now. Help me know today the way that I should take. You guide and direct me, and I'm listening, Lord. I'm listening. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. That's where we're at as Christians. Father in heaven, we thank You and praise You for this morning, and thank You that You are a God that is actively involved in our lives. What an honor, what a joy it is to see You working, O God, at every point, and learning as we mature to see how You are doing things and why You do what You do, and how You speak to us. It's progressive, but we're learning, Lord. We want to learn to recognize Your voice. We want to be led by Your Holy Spirit. And what an honor it is to walk with You. You said, walk by the Spirit and don't gratify the desires of the flesh. We can walk by the Spirit. So we honor You and we thank You for these things today, Father. And right now, as we're in an attitude of prayer, now is an excellent opportunity to lift up your hearts before God. If there are individuals in this room who may be struggling with fear of men, fear of rejection, fear of speaking, you feel your tongue tied sometimes, or you just walk away from opportunities because you're not sure you know what to say, you can lift that prayer up to God right now and say, God, I don't want to do that anymore. I want You to give me what to say. I want to be courageous. I want to be strong. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You lift your request before God. Others might be here saying, you know, I've never thought about trusting God to lead me every day. But I want to start. Make David's prayer your prayer every morning. Lord, show me the way that I should take today, and I'll be listening. I'll be listening for Your direction at certain times during the day. Maybe there's others here who may feel lonely. Maybe you battle loneliness. Maybe you might feel lonely right in the middle of the congregation, but you're not. Now's a good opportunity to say, God, thank you that I'm not alone. Surround me with godly friendship. Maybe you need comfort. Whatever the need might be, you can lift that up to God this morning. And if what we're talking about in God's Word makes sense to you, if it rings true to you, that could not be happening if the Holy Spirit was not doing that in your life. God would be drawing you to Himself. Don't resist. Call upon Him as your Lord and your Savior. Say, Jesus, today I give you my life. I don't want to live my own way. I want to see my children trained up in your ways. I want to know you as my Savior. You died for my sins that I might be restored with Almighty God. There is no other way. I put my confidence and trust in you right now. Guide me and direct me by your word. For today I'm yours. Give your life to Christ. And you can do that if you're here in the sanctuary with someone you came with or with me, or you could pray with somebody here. And if you're listening to this message by some other means, right where you're at, give your life to Christ. Father, thank you for this morning. And now we lift up this last song as a worship and praise offering in closing. May your blessing be on each one in this room as we go. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.